It's morning. It's morning. It's a Monday. And I was just listening to, I don't know if No Agenda is becoming this, or if whatever. But yeah, I think I've totally lost No Agenda. John C. Dvorak died, and I'm not willing to hang with I'm not willing to hang with just Adam and somebody else. Mimi's an interesting soul, but it's just yeah. I don't know what it was about that combination, but it was gold, and I'm not going to hang with it anymore. Anyway, so, and I went over, and I clicked on one of those things where they said, oh, 5 huge changes at the LDS Church. And what Elder Bednar said about the fact that this was all supposed to help us point to the sacrament and its centrality. And I've never been able to tell. This is kind of an AI spirit presentation. It doesn't come from a guy. The little pictures they show are just silly. You know, it's AI trying to do pictures that are supposed to go with it, but they mostly look like a mix of Protestant Catholic practice. Who cares? But anyway, certainly thought provoking. Although I stopped it because they were getting. I anticipate this is soft anti material. Sometimes it's good to listen to what these guys are doing because they're usually fast on the uptake. They actually see clearly what's going on where Latter-day Saints usually don't. A lot of people in the church fight these changes in kind of a passive-aggressive way. And but this guy really came up with stuff. He came up with what I think might be an ultimate pitfall, which is when he said it's going to be the discussion's going to be too strongly steered, and I think that might actually be so. But that's supposed to keep powerful personalities like, say, mine, for instance, because I will usually just say one thing, drop it, and then I won't say another thing for the rest of the time because, you know, it's not supposed to be your time. You're supposed to say, well, this is something that I learned. And then you're supposed to stop and let it go. And if there's no feedback or not, I, you know. Anyway, so I think I probably got the right take on it, or at least a take that will work. It won't be too troublesome. It's like when you get up for your fast and testimony meetings, and there's some people who like being there every single Sunday, pop up, give their testimony, go and sit down. I don't know what exactly that's about. My twins used to do that. There has been a few people who want to be the last testimony given. So I'm sorry, I think those people are basically a manipulative bunch. And for my part, I get pissed off. I should go and I said, you know what, you're a master manipulator. You remind me of my, you know, of other people that I have known. I'm not going to say who, because this is still public enough that I don't want to say anything bad about anybody, just certain personalities. Smart enough to know how to manipulate things and to hope. You know, everybody says, well, I am trying to manipulate in a good way. And I might be one of these, except that I'm too lazy. I think that's probably my only saving grace is even though I'm smart enough and I do have a background in I almost call it a genetic background in manipulation. I try to step back from that and say nobody wants to be manipulated, especially me. And so I try not to do it myself. I'm not saying I'm any good at not doing it myself, but there it is. Anyway, ta-da. Had a wonderful, I'm starting to get back to my doctoral thesis, which is the effective blending of Latter-day Saint and Jewish, I'd call it practice, but I don't know if that covers the landscape well enough, although I need to keep it kind of fine-tuned. I need to be careful. And it's something that I noticed in the temple endowment presentation. I only noticed this because a whole lot has been stripped out of the endowment for whatever reason. And because they don't often say why. They just do it. Sometimes an apostle might mention one of the reasons that this was done, perhaps. But really haven't seen that. Anyway, when it comes to men and women becoming priests and priestesses and kings and queens, the way it's stated, in the endowment itself is really very, it's really interesting. There is a worthiness conditional attached to this priestly, kingly status for men. That is not mentioned for the women. Of course, it's really interesting that the men are king and priest to God, and women are queens and priestesses to the new and everlasting covenant. But that's not what I'm talking about. It was really interesting. Because I was listening to this old Navajo fella. He puts up his material on the web, mostly as YouTube videos. And he's trying to turn it into a paying gig. You know, this is typical for these kinds of venues. But it was really interesting. He was talking about, he used the word complete, and it was kind of like, whoa, what does that mean? And you're going, the Navajo thought is that women come into this world basically complete as they start their periods, as menstruation begins. That completes women. Women are fully women at that point. Men, boys do not become men through any biological process. You know, it becomes this whole thing about going out, getting the food, getting resources. He was talking about his ancestors who weren't too far back, and they would get work working on the railroad. And then they would come back home, and they would go, and they would trade the money in for food. So they said, and they would hike back with a bag of food, sometimes 100 miles, to get home. And that wasn't something the women were asked to do on any level whatsoever. They often carried water and stuff like that. The stuff that the household needed. Men had to go out and range out and go and get what was needed for the family, mostly for food and for resources to take care of shelter and things like that. Very, very, very basic, very clear. And he said, there's a funny thing, some boys never become men. And you go, but that's the shining example, that's the shining spot on the hill that men are, that males are supposed to make for. To provide and protect their families. Of course, the whole thing, you know, the thing is a combination of having those abilities and also being able to have a family in the first place. All these things come together. And it makes sense that women are the big gatekeepers to what men are allowed to become to form families, because women won't do it. You know, now some of them would be really jerky not listening to the advice of their mothers or their grandmothers in making choices and things like that for the husband that would be good for them. Anyway, so this thing all came up. Elder Bednar, and this is not new to him, it's basically been said by a lot of different people. I think it originally came out of someplace in BYU. The whole concept that perfect means complete. So it says that women are basically complete. Certainly have everything that is needed to become a wife and a mother and to take care of a household when they start menstruating. You know, barely out of puberty. Doesn't mean that's when they get married, but that's when they become a complete woman. And it was really interesting kind of how the interplay of all these things kind of slid into place. I know that it said, wait a minute, your study is on how can you bring Latter-day Saint and Jewish practice together? What needs to be jettisoned? What needs to be reinforced? And I've already got something of a framework for it, saying we're going to go back in Jewish thought as far as we can back to the Torah as to what is essential. I think we're going to have to bring up the whole idea of priesthood, because priesthood is so central to Latter-day Saint practice. That it's done well, you know. Much more structured, much more, well, I can't say structured. There's a church there. And the church kind of governs practice. And for Judaism, at least for the early state of it, it wasn't the church that governed practice, it was the Torah. Except that there was kind of a churchy organization around the tabernacle and then into the temple. How things were done, what things had to be said, the processes, the procedures, those are all good and they have to be considered. When you're saying, we are going to bring these together. It says, and to some extent, we are bringing back priestliness to the Jews. And I think Jews are going to bring a lot of ritual to the Latter-day Saints. And that this is and that this needs to be a merger that leaves nothing that's essential to a relationship to God, to God's commandments to us, that leaves none of that particularly out. We're made fortunate by the fact that there is scripture that talks about one Lord, one faith, one baptism, which means everything has to come together. The actual LDS endowment has an element that all truth can be circumscribed into one great whole. So these things all need to come together, at least in my mind. So that's how I proceed with my dissertation thing. What might need to stay, what might need to go. I am not an apostle. I am not authorized to make these kinds of changes. But I think from study, I can make suppositions, conjecture, corporate recommendations. This is like bringing in. So I'm kind of using my doctoral dissertation as kind of a spiritual managerial consultant thing. It's out there. It's available. The church can look at it and use it as it likes. This is, you know, it's not going to be like I'm going to be advertising it particularly. If it contains something useful for parties, they can go and look at it. I am not going to, you know, I'm not going to make it kind of a money-making venture. You know, put it behind some kind of academic paper firewall so that people can't see it. I want people to be able to see it. Although I'm not going to advertise it. I'm going to let the Lord bring people to these things. And if my previous writing, I've just completed Prophecy, and it's actually on Amazon. I haven't yet just put out the one that says, I haven't put out the one that's basically freely available, chopped into little chapters so that you can't really grab it and steal it. Although, you know, to be honest, who cares if they steal it particularly, you know? If it does nothing else, it'll just make it more generally known, I suppose. The only person I'm interested in impressing on some strange level is God, or Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not really interested in anybody else. I'm doing this as a huge exercise, and it's going to get me a degree, but a degree that I'm probably just going to say, okay, I've done this, here's my credential, and that's all. You know, I don't really stand on my IT network management degree either, my master's degree. In fact, my master's degree has almost nothing to do with my doctorate. And my doctorate's not some kind of scholarly academic paper. It's definitely a, this might be some ways that we can accomplish this sort of a thing. It's made to be, how do we change our practice, how do we change our ways to be able to get to this new place. And you go, I don't even know if this is the right approach at all. It says, but I'm doing it as something of exercise. And I'm not even going to say what kind of exercise it is. I don't know. I don't know if it's intellectual, if it's intuitive, whatever. But I'm doing it through the framework of a doctoral thesis. And I don't think it's to give me gravitas or anything. It's just to maybe focus my mind to make sure that I'm doing that I'm covering the topic decently, that I'm doing a good job. So, yeah, it just turned to me before I decided to go and check out this Navajo fella, I had said it's really important to see methods and ways of processing and ways that should be. I'm kind of an anti-system guy, strangely, probably because I've been involved with systems, things that actually just are systems by nature, computers and information technology, and how that becomes problematic for human beings, and that one needs to get away from that. I am not a proponent of AI on any level at all. If people say, oh, it's just a tool, it's just a tool, and they're going, I don't think it's just a tool, except for you're kind of handing off your use of that tool to other entities, and I'm not going to be surprised if other entities are demons, satanic spirits that have a better understanding of the AI tool than you do, and will be able to manipulate you thereby. Like I said, I think I have enough of a background. I think I've been manipulated plenty in my past that I can smell manipulation coming. Even if people swear up and down, oh, it's a proper manipulation. It's good. The Lord wants me to manipulate you to get you to come to where you need to be. And you go, I'm not ready to punch you in the face, and I don't want to have anything to do with the church that promulgates this kind of idea. So they'll accept the Lord working me over, but I'm not going to take it from you. Got it? So anyway. So that's kind of the way I kind of come into it. I need to get this down, too, because I need to make kind of a personal statement. And it might be that. It might be very much against the manipulation. You know, if a Jew comes to the church and wants to retain Jewish practices, especially since I think these two traditions are supposed to merge at some point. They're not supposed to be essentially different, because it's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And you go, but you know, you said, I don't know. I don't know how much of a, I call it a recipe for a melding. Melding, and that's kind of what it is. It becomes, how can this be done? And I think it has a lot to do with a lot of Latter-day Saint traditionalism, which I've really got an issue with. I am also not a fan of you just doing things because it's traditional. And that also speaks to the whole slapping in the head of a whole lot of Jewish practice, which I think might also be, you know, steeped in traditionalism. The glomming on of a lot of extra holidays, a lot of extra celebrations. Some of them have taken more prominence over others, and it says, did the Lord want us to do that? Was that instruction from God? And you go, well, no, but we've got to just, you know, this is how we do things. If there's something interesting that we kind of like and we think it might be a miraculous thing, we'll turn it into a festival and we'll make a lot of feasts around it. Hanukkah becomes the Jewish Christmas. And you're going, nah, let's be careful with that. We're trying to stay, because we don't want to take over people's lives. I don't think that was ever the Lord's intent, was that your life would just be one constant, you know, strapping the phylacteries to your head, the recitation of scripture, 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 and, you know, and you don't have a life because this thing is supposed to take up the bulk of your life, your hourly schedule almost. And Latter-day Saints can fall into this trap too. They've been pulling back from it, and that's wonderful. I have nothing, well, if I do have any problems with what the brethren are doing, it basically comes from them having to be concentrating on one or two particular efforts at a time. So, near anti-traditionalist, near anti-manipulation. I don't like to use the word anti. My first college experience was an indoctrination toward anti-attitudes toward a variety of things. And it was being somewhat scooped up by left-wing forces. Feminism, racism, things like that. So yeah, I need to do that as part of my personal statement. I need to go back and I need to work this. Let's see what else. I think I was gonna start considering what the personal statement is for what I want to accomplish. This is good because this goes for kind of what I feel like my mission is. And so it's like my personal mission statement for wanting to do this doctoral work. And it's weird because, of course, in the Latter-day Saint tradition, it is totally a lay leadership thing. Having a doctorate in ministry is meaningless to silly. So you can't do it because you go, oh, I intend to be the senior pastor at this church. And you go, no, that's not in there. that says, I guess I intend to find, to explore independent, intuitive, standing. In a larger, I want to say ecumenical, because I'm not very ecumenical. That just seems like watering down and joining the Borg. I'm just not a Borg guy, you know. I don't want your implants, particularly. I want to see what you're doing and see the good that it does and the truth in it. And I want to be able to make that more integrated. In ways. A more independent, intuitive leader. There you go. Leadership is a really big thing on this thing. They always frame it, okay, now, most of leadership literature has to do with leading groups. That's what you want to do. You know, you want to kind of come up with the whole, or what organizational leadership is more about. You know, forming teams, leading those teams, being a real motivator within groups, small groups. It says that mine has to do with works that need to be done that don't seem particularly interesting organizationally. To be able to bring those things out. This is interesting, guys. Just out in the middle of nowhere. I hope he's attached to this truck. I hope so. He doesn't look like he needs any help or he wants to. He's purposeful. He's marching purposefully. Anyway, so that's an interesting way. Let's think about that for a minute. An independent leader. It says, I am not here to join your crew and to fight for the dominance in it. And I'm not interested. I'm not a competitive guy. I'm not trying to win over somebody else. I'm not doing that. It says, I try to have more in common with some kind of Eastern guru hermit. That sits on top of a mountain and that some people choose to come up to him seeking wisdom. And that's kind of what I'm there for. So I'm not trying to be your organization's leader. I actually had that job. And let me tell you, I was a terrible team member. I was trying to lead them in a different direction. I had some people that were willing to at least ponder the idea. Most of the rest were, you're a traitor! You're a traitor to what we're trying to do! And you go, okay, this is, you know, I don't need to be this on any level. So yes, it brings up the fact that I need to be some. Somebody was trying to call me. I don't know if the thing was on while I was in the middle of it. So yeah, almost, you know, almost like kind of a spiritual consultant. things from a lot of different places. And yeah, it's like, you know, I hate to say spiritual change consultant, but you know what, at the end of the day, it's repentance. It's a thing, this is what we need to be preaching. Repent, repent, repent. And of course, repentance is spiritually directed change toward God. And so maybe it is. It's like, I want to become a spiritual change consultant. I was always, you know, so that kind of mixes way back to when I finished up my degree in home economics. So I was interested in that, but it seemed like the change people needed to make, more than cooking better meals or something along the social worker realm, which I was kind of tending toward at that time. It was all usually spiritualists, you know. I forget who was saying it, but somebody, some comedian, just came up and he says, "No, it was who was it? I don't think it was a comedian. Some personality." And he came and he said, "You know what, everybody, if they need church, just go to church and you'll do better." And it's, can I tell you, it's absolutely true. He said, you know, pick one. It doesn't matter which one. It's going to make you do something better and your life is going to get significantly better. And it's like, you know, he's right. He's absolutely right. Oh. So, yeah. This is where it comes from. I wish I still had that. That would be a fantastic analog to what it says. And to say this is what my personal statement is. What I've essentially been working for since I was a young man. It says, and my writing that comes along with it. And this may ultimately become some, it's not going to be, I don't anticipate fiction anymore. I think I finished fiction. The very last book I wrote is not a very good novel at all. It might be the beginnings of this is God's plan of salvation. That was actually the framework of it. And I'm not shy about saying that's what this is. So, yeah. I think that's what we need to do first. This is before we get really deep into any of the rest of this stuff. But I want to keep collecting all this information. These wikis are fantastic for me to collect this information. And to make it basically, keep it available, read only for other people. I'm the only guy that can write on it, and make it available. Because I don't need your donations. I've already made enough money that I can feed myself well. I don't mind you feeding me. Invite me over, and I'll be glad to come over and eat with you. And I'm not trying to be some kind of Christ figure. I'm wanting to point you to Christ. And not my version of Christ. You know, this is not particularly my version of Christ. Although I like my version of Christ better than most others. There's that. You're just going to have to kind of deal with the fact that that's the way it's going to be for me. Is that this is my take and this is my exploration. And sure. I don't mind talking to you at all about any of this stuff. Anyway, so I gotta get some more gas here. The big question is, should I just be really quiet, put this aside, and pick it right back up? I think I will. Because when it's quiet, everything's okay. Wow, the gas price is still $3.29 here. What on earth is going on? But I like it. I like it, I like it, I like it. Okay. All right, I'm back. Oh, gas pumps are terrible. They just don't work. Okay. I don't want to be just an anti guy, but there are certain procedures that I don't subscribe to. I think I'm getting too much air in here, and it's my noise canceller isn't really getting rid of the noise. Anyway, so yeah, I don't want to be this anti this. But the sad part is, it seems like these are forces that to do battle with. And to be honest, I think leftists love a lot of things that I don't like. Traditionalism, run into orthodoxy. I'm not a particularly orthodox person. I might be okay with a lot of orthodoxy because I think it's right, not because I think it's what the powers that be have established. I'm not really okay. It's anti-establishmentarianism. Disestablishmentarianism. It's like one of those the longest words that exist in the dictionary. Have I always been that way? Yeah, I've always kind of had kind of a. I don't want to do it. I don't want to be flashy. And like I said, you know, I'm certainly not doing this as a paying consultancy gig, because the things I'm going to say isn't here to make your church bigger, your church more profitable, stuff like that. It really has to do with, are you really doing what God wants you to do? So I think that really sees through the whole scope of what I do. So yeah, kind of a spiritual change agent, because what most people need, and now, you know, and I'm talking from a town of just broken down. You know, most of their interface with almost everything, including religion, is to try to extract food, clothing, and shelter from it. Usually, or just money. They just want to extract money from it. They want bills paid. They want cash in their hand. They want to be able to nurse along a drug addiction. A hundred things, but not getting closer to God, you know, except that you can say, oh yeah, well, I believe in God. Can I put my hand in the collection till? And it really comes from people being starving. Now, that doesn't justify their actions at all. You can sit there and go, I understand why you would be that way, but you can't be that way. Cannot do it. God doesn't approve of them. God's not going to smile on you because you're doing these things. So don't do it. You almost don't want to call it a spiritual problem. It's almost a transcendent problem. It's a problem of the transcendently starving. And what do you do with the transcendently starving? Yeah, and to be honest, I don't have a very good answer. Except get up off your butt and go out and get a job. Clean yourself up, put yourself together enough to get a job. And you go, it might be the stupidest job in the world. But it will give you the step up that you need. So I don't even want to talk about how many years I worked for fast food service and convenience stores. And although I make a whole lot more money now, it's all a little trick. It's all a little sleight of hand. And I don't really want to teach people all about that kind of sleight of hand, keeping your mouth shut, doing what you're told, start looking for the next job as soon as you get the impression to start looking for the next job. Anyway, so there it is. Kind of a spiritual change agent. And change is repentance, a spiritual repentance agent. But it doesn't have to do with going to a particular church. It doesn't have to go with doing a particular song. It says, I know who my God is, and I know that my God is your God, is actually the God. He said, but I understand the worthwhileness of you being attentive to other gods to do other things. Now it says, you know, not in my house. It says, but yours, do it. Go. It says, if your God isn't telling you that you need to straighten up, I'm still an agent of the God who wants you to straighten up. So that's what you're going to hear from me. Almost more of getting down to the essence of what God desires of us and how we can instill that desire in others. Very important. So, I think I'm going to leave it at that. I use these recordings just to try to keep things top of mind. I don't ever refer back to them again, hardly ever. In fact, I don't think I've ever done it. But then, at least you'll know part of my thought process and what that means. And I leave it with you and talk to you later. Bye.